2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to need you right now. Lord, the preacher needs you. Those that are listening, Lord, they need you. We just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be in tune to your voice, your Spirit's voice during the course of this message. Lord, I don't believe in accidents. I've just lived too long. I've got too strong a faith. I've watched your hand too many times. And I believe if somebody's here today that you have something for them. So thank you for this hour. And Lord, I pray, dear God, again, for your assistance as I preach. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I headed out on Labor Day, me and my wife, and we meandered out towards the west. And our destination was Butte, Montana. And there I was going to preach from Sunday to Wednesday, a revival meeting. And then we were going to spend some time vacationing. And then after the revival, Cheryl put her on a plane and she flew to California to spend time with Tabitha and the grandkids out in California. Cody took his first steps and started walking while Grandma was out there. What do you think about that? All I got was a video. That's all I got. But I think that's kind of my fault because I made the choice of heading to the mountains and chasing elk during that time and spoiling Derek and Rebecca's kids. So I did that very effectively, I think. And so we had a great time, good time. But I got to spend some time there with my good friend Ron Dirksen. We were both busy and doing some things, but I had an opportunity twice to sit down at a restaurant and enjoy a meal with him. And the second time in a less rushed manner. Matter of fact, I think the waitress was getting ready to escort us out the door at some point because I don't get a scene very often. And I asked him a question, and I already had heard the answer. He told me the answer the first time I met him, but I wanted to hear him say it again. And I said, Pastor Dirksen, why did God bring you to Butte, Montana? By the way, folks, Butte, Montana, I'm just going to say this. Butte, Montana is a wicked city. And I know there's wickedness everywhere. I know that they're sad to say that, but I know that there's wickedness everywhere. But I believe that in some places, the devil has just created a satanic stronghold. And I think Butte, Montana is one of those. I said, Pastor Dirksen, all these years ago, now 30 years ago, why do you think God brought you to Butte, Montana? And he always smiles and he drops his head and he looks back up at me and he said, well, maybe God brought me here because he knew I was just too stubborn to quit. Too stubborn to quit. The name of the message this morning is Too Stubborn to Quit. Too stubborn to quit. We see a word in verse number 3. Thou therefore, here's the next word, endure. Endure. See, me and my dad, as I was growing up, maybe this helped some of you teenage boys, but me and my dad used to get into some discussions. At least that's the term I use, discussions, concerning the difference between the word stubborn and the word determined. I never won any of these discussions. I never won any of these discussions because you tended not to win with Bob Ross, okay? But he would at least, I think, let me state my case and he would enjoy my attempts. But he would tell me sometimes, you're too stubborn. I said, Dad, I'm not stubborn, I'm determined. Sometimes it's just the way you look at things, you know. Here's a teenage boy, I see determination. Here's a dad looking at his knucklehead boy saying, no, that's stubbornness. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, you know, if we chase through the Bible, folks, you can't find any good things said about stubbornness. And here me and him are trying to take two different things and describe it two different ways. I heard a man say this one time, stubbornness is a determination to do the wrong things. Think about that. Stubbornness is a determination to do the wrong things, and determination is the stubbornness to do the right things. Amen. So I got stubbornness in the phrase anyway when it came to determination. I think the Bible terminology for what I'm trying to get across to you is this matter of enduring. And I want you to take a look at that word with me this morning, because I believe with all of my heart that, matter of fact, if I had a secondary title, I would call it the lost art of endurance, the lost art of endurance. And young people, I want you to really hear me. And folks, listen to me. I hate to say this, but we've just raised a couple generations of quitters. I mean, you know, I grew up hearing, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's what I grew up hearing. Now I'm watching when the going get tough, people just quit. Come on, look right up here. They go through a tough stretch of their marriage, and you know what they do? They just quit on it. Just quit on it. They go take a job, and you know what? They go through a tough time at their job, and you know what? They just quit. Next thing you know, you run into them. Hey, how's that job going? Oh, I quit. I quit. Come on, we got a generation of quitters. They don't know about the biblical character trait of endurance. So I want to preach on that this morning. The Apostle Paul wrote three letters to two young preachers. Of course, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. These three letters were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let's not forget that. They were placed by God into the canon of Scripture. So what we're reading is not Paul's writings. What we're reading is the very words of God. In this second letter to Timothy, God saw to it that Paul used the word endure four times. So you're in 2 Timothy. Let's look at those four verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In the same chapter, chapter 2, look down at verse number 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Then twice in chapter 4, look at verse 3. Watch this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So he has commanded Timothy to endure hardness. He says, I am willing to endure whatever I have to endure for the elect's sake. He said, beware, in the last days there's going to come up a generation that will not endure sound doctrine. Now, folks, that's not a group of Christians raising up against false teachings. That's Christians getting to the point where they do not want to hear what is sound and proven doctrine in the Scriptures. They don't want certain things preached on anymore. Now look, if you will, in verse number 5, 2 Timothy 4, 5. But watch thou in all things. Here it is. Watch this. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. The word endure, if you study it out, it means to stay under. Think about that, to stay under. So you're carrying a heavy burden. And you know what? When you're carrying a heavy burden, what the temptation is to want to quit. To get out from underneath it, to drop it, to walk away from it, to say, I can't. I can't. It means to remain. Come on. When other people quit and leave, who's left? Who still remains? How about this? It means to undergo, to bear trials. Watch this. I love this. To have fortitude. Young men, this ought to be something that's ingrained into your character. Parents, be careful about allowing your kids to quit. You know, you come to mom, you come to dad, and you want to do something so bad. Come on, young ladies, you can do this too. And you bug them about it, and bug them about it, and bug them about it. You know what? Finally, dad says, okay, if you're really interested in this, you really want to do it, then if we're going to invest the time, we're going to invest the money in it, then you're going to follow through with, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, you're so positive. You know why? Because you haven't really gotten into it yet, and you haven't figured out that pretty soon, whatever it is, what it appears to be on the outside is not what it really is. You know what it will boil down to, whether it's playing an instrument? Come on now. You know, whether I want a horse, 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 and then 3 weeks later, you know, mom and dad's taking care of it. Come on, come on. You know, you see the idea of something. And you say, I want to do that. And you bug mom and you bug dad and you bug mom and you bug dad. All right. Then you know what? A couple weeks later, you're whining and complaining because you find out that, listen, folks, most things worth doing just involve work. Work. Come on. Discipline, character, follow through, work. Now, I want you parents to check. Watch this. Check right now in your thinking. Are you allowing little sissy to get excited about something and then giving her the opportunity, and a month later she wants to quit it and you let her? I'm going to tell you something. If they're going to beg that hard for it, they're going to follow through at the Ross house. Come on now. What are you teaching them? I'm teaching them endurance. Endurance. Think about that. It means to have fortitude, to persevere, to abide, to suffer patiently, even in the doing of something that's right. If suffering is involved, I'll do it patiently and I'll push through and I'm not going to quit. Preacher, what does it mean to endure? It means not to quit. Not to quit. And in our Christian life, we have to get back to finding this. Call it determination, call it stubbornness, call it whatever you want to. We need an old-fashioned revival of stick-to-itness in Christianity today. Why did God send Pastor Dirksen to Butte, Montana? By the way, why did God send Pastor Lowen to be the next pastor in this very hard town? I think because they're cut out of the same material. Why was the Apostle Paul faithful unto death? Why did Paul exhort Timothy to endure hardness? Why did Paul choose to endure all things? Why did Paul warn us that in the last days, men would lose the ability to endure sound doctrine? Why did Paul tell Timothy to endure afflictions while doing the work of an evangelist and while making full proof of the ministry? Because God knew, watch this, that the key to a long life of faithful service is the ability to endure. To simply not quit. To simply not quit. I'm going to take you to three different portions of Scripture. There are three times when you're going to need to be too stubborn to quit in a Christian life. Number one, decide to be too stubborn to quit during the tough times. During the tough times. Verse number 3 of chapter 2, we read this. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4:5, we read, but watch thou in all things endure afflictions. Afflictions. Think about that. Four times in Paul's letter to Timothy. By the way, Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. He was Paul's young preacher in training. He warned that hard times were going to come. Hard times is coming, Timothy. You may think you know what the ministry is. Son, you're about to find out what the ministry is. I put a little note in here to find Max. Is Max in here? Where's Max at? Max, look at me. Look me in the eye, buddy. You're the one that called me. I didn't call you. You called me from camp. You told me, preacher, God is all over me and God's called me to preach. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what you think it is, but I can tell you this. It's going to be harder than you could ever imagine it will be, but it's still worth doing. Still worth doing. Come on. I may be dead and gone, but I don't want to look down when you're 30, 35, 40 years old and see you selling insurance or cars somewhere and out of the ministry and out of the ministry. You know how we can have a revival in America, Brother James? If every really, really, truly called man of God would quit his stinking secular job and get back into the ministry that God called him into, we might have revival in America. Well, we tried. Well, if you set out just to try, you know what? You know what I'll try means? I'll try means I'll fail.
Yes, sir.
I'll try means I'll fail. Because you've got a verse that's stronger than I try. How about this one? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You don't try, you do. I'm not talking about in your own flesh and your own power. I'm talking about you partner up with God and you get a hold of God. And you know what? You put your face, you set your face like a flint towards what God's called you to do. And you do it. You don't do it just while it's fun. You don't do it until you get distracted and something else looks more interesting. You settle in and you do it. Because this is what God's called me to do. This is what God's called me to be. And you know what? In that space and time, in that process, you're going to face some hardships. Think about this. The exhortation to endure hardships was a warning that there would be a hardness. The exhortation to endure hardness was a warning that there would be hardships come to those who serve the Lord. The word afflictions means to undergo hardship or to suffer trouble, to suffer trouble. Why would we be surprised about that? Let me take it out of the ministry realm, bring it to the pew. Listen to me. You decided that you were going to get on that bus route. You're just going to be on the bus route while it was kind of fun and while it was fresh and while the kids liked you. I got a lot of people that would join the bus ministry if they could be in the bus ministry in the spring and the fall. Come on now. Come on. You know what? At some point, can I tell you what it's going to get? It's going to get hard. Some Sundays, it's going to get hard. We need bus drivers. Some of you won't do it because you don't want to do the hard thing. Come on, I'm telling you that God's tugged at your heart about a dozen times, but you keep going back home. Come on, wives, are you talking your husband out of serving God or into serving God? Well, our whole weekend, our whole lives would be turned upside down. Well, you know what? If we're going to turn the world upside down, we might have to start by turning our lives upside down. Come on, we got way too comfortable. You think of the average person sitting in the pew. I'll let you answer this between you and God. You know, I mean, this is where business has to be done. Not between me and you, between you and God. And you really take a look at your last month. And you really, I mean, come on, pen and paper, sit down and write down the hours that you spent doing what you wanted to do and the hours you spent really doing something for God. And by the way, coming to church is a good thing, but that is not service. You say, it's not service? Come on. If my mom, listen, imagine this. Imagine, you know Bob and Donna Ross? Okay, imagine 10-year-old Jerry Ross. And I walk in with the list of chores that Dad has assigned me to do. And I said, Dad, listen, I want to renegotiate. I want to talk to you about this, all right? So you didn't do stuff like this. I did stuff like this all the time. Did it work? No, it never worked. But, you know, and so I'd go in and I'd say, I need to renegotiate. And I said, Dad, listen, here you've got all of these chores for me to do, and here's how I feel about it, okay? Three times a day, I show up at the dining room table. Three times a day, I change my schedule and show up to eat what somebody else has prepared for me. So why in the world should I have to do chores? Now everybody here would say, what an idiot argument. And yet we've got a whole generation of Christians that think they're doing God a favor by showing up to church three times a week. Can I say this? Y'all are just sitting there. I'm doing the work right now. Y'all are eating. I'm the one that did the preparation. And you look at me like, you want me to do something else? Yeah. You know why? Let me tell you why. Because I'm the son of Bob and Donna Ross. That's why. That argument didn't work with them. It ain't going to work with you. Come on, folks. Think about this. We just treading water. We've kind of redefined what a good Christian is and isn't based on what we want to do and what we don't want to do. Folks, you know what we need? We need folks that will say, listen to me, I'm willing, I want a generation of young men to reach down deep and say, Lord, let me do the hard thing. Call me to do the hard thing. Everybody's looking for easy. Everybody just wants, you know, I don't know what they want. They just don't want to have to put out any effort much for anything anymore. You realize that Jesus told his disciples, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth pew bumps. No, labors. You know what? You know why we meet and eat? So we can have the energy to go work. Thank you, preacher. Thank you, Brother Mark, what you said. Brother, that beautiful idea of bringing in truth, but it not having an outlet. Folks, you're right. You're right, preacher. It leads to a critical spirit. You know, knowledge puffeth up. And you know all the answers. And by the way, you'll be the first one at the door if I misspeak or if I misquote. Because you're not really here to be helped by a message. You're here to critique a message. And the reason you're like that is all you do is take in and knowledge puffeth up. Man, find that avenue of service. Why did God give me all this information? Why did God let me be raised at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Why did I have all of these sermons? Why have I been taking, come on young people, all these conferences and camps? What has God prepared me to do? Find it and do it. Do it. But you know what? When you start doing that, hard times is going to come. Devil's not going to sin. I don't have to tell these two young people this right now. But the devil's not going to set over Topeka and twiddle his thumbs, and he's not going to sit over in Topeka and say, "Oh, doggone, yes, I lost this town." Brother, you are starting a church. You are starting a church, and that irritates the devil. And I promise you, just as you're laying plans and groundwork right now, he's laying plans and groundwork to attack that new work, and there are going to be hard things. Brother, new levels, new devils. Write it down. New levels, new devils. Every time you decide, come on, listen, you can't see it. And I'm not bragging, I'm not complaining. I'm telling you the truth. You can't see the scars. You have no idea. If you can see this, listen, this is an old warrior standing in front of you. Brother, I haven't tried to do the minimum for the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, I've tried to do so much of the maximum that sometimes I've run in front of God. I'll tell you, that's all right to say that. But I think God would rather pull back somebody a little bit than he would try to get them up and move. And you know what? I tell people, they say, one guy once said, "Well, Jerry Ross is a five-talent Christian. You know, one talent, two talent, five-talent Christian." And I said, "No, I'm not. I'm a two-talent Christian trying to show up with five instead of four." You know what? That's who I am. I want my life to count for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do something. I want to have an eternal impact. Hey, does that fire burn in you anywhere? Well, I'll tell you this. If you take off in that direction, you're going to get the devil's attention in a way, and hard things are going to come. By the way, the Apostle Paul that God was using to write this, he faced some hard things. It wasn't like he was warning Timothy of something he's never faced. He gave testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, and labors more abundant, and stripes above measure. Now think about this. And stripes above measure. We read a phrase like that, we don't even think about it. That means Paul was tied multiple times to a post by his hand, standing up, ripped. They took the garment off his back, bared his flesh, and took a whip and whipped him. And he said, "Well, it happened so many times, I can't really tell you how many stripes I had. Lost count. Brother, if that happened to me, I think I'd be able to give you the number. I'd want you to know how much I suffered." He's not. Well, Paul, how many? "I don't know. It's happened so many places. I don't know. Here, let me take my shirt off. You can count the scars. You can count the scars if you want to. Try to figure it out." Come on, man. We're going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat with the likes of the Apostle Paul. And all we're doing is looking for easy street. This is good for us, folks. We don't sacrifice enough in America. We don't give enough in America. We don't work enough for God in America. Come on, we don't. We're too distracted. Too many things going on. Too many toys. Come on, too much disposable income. Too many places to go play. Too many. It's what we're doing. World's going to hell around us, and we're just kind of distracted. You know, hey, football's on again. Hey. It's one thing, another thing. Everything's got our attention, but what ought to have our attention? Come on, listen to me, folks. I'm encouraging you to get up and go, but I'm also warning you. You get up and go, you know what? Tough times are coming. And that's why a lot of people don't stick with it. Come on. He said, stripes above measure, prisons more frequent, deaths oft. The Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. What? Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, and journeyings often, in perils of water, and perils of robbers. Perils of mine own countrymen, perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, hunger, thirst, and fastings often, cold. Listen, Apostle Paul said, listen, son, this is what you signed up for. I just want to let you know, you're young, I'm old, you need to hear this. This is what you signed up for. You know what? Hardships are coming. Folks, listen to me. When the hardships come, I'm saying this because I want to encourage you. I'm talking to those of you that are serving the Lord. When the hardships come, be too stubborn to quit. Be too stubborn to quit. Pastor, how did Paul survive all these things and not get discouraged? How did he not quit? He said, hardships are going to come, but by God's grace, I will endure. I will stay under. I will remain. I will continue to undergo. I will bear up. I will exercise fortitude. I will persevere. I will abide. I will patiently suffer whatever God allows into my life. But let me tell you what I will not do. I will not complain. I will not develop a martyr's mentality. I will not turn back. I will not surrender. I will not give in. I will not become a used to be. I will not look back or go back. By God's grace, I will endure. Endure. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I will endure affliction. I will continue to fight a good fight. I will continue to finish my course, and I will continue to keep the faith. I'm going to do it to my last breath. And man, if I could get a handful of young men, get that kind of determination inside of you, you know what? This country might have a chance. It might have a chance. You say, preacher, but why? Come on. But why? But why? Say, Paul, why do you do it? Why do you do it? Now, at this point, you got to understand Jerry Ross's imagination kicks in a little bit. My mind's eye, I see Paul. I said, Paul, why though? Why endure? When somebody else is, everybody else is quitting, why keep going? When somebody, everybody else is dialing back, why are you dialing up? And in my mind's eye, I see Paul drop his head, and maybe then a little smile plays on his lips. He shrugs his shoulders, looks up with a determined stare, and says, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too stubborn to quit. Maybe I'm just too stubborn to quit. Decide to be too stubborn to quit during the tough times. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to see this next portion of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 19. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 19. Number 1, decide to be too stubborn to quit during the tough times. Number 2, decide to be too stubborn to quit during the unfair times. Unfair times. Boy, this is what gets a lot of Christians off track. I want you to look at verse number 19, a fascinating verse, wonderful verse, helpful verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 19. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience towards God, what's the next two words? So if a man for conscience towards God, by the way, this is thankworthy. See, there's going to be times where, you know what, your conscience towards God will not allow you to compromise on something, not allow you to change. You have to stand somewhere. Watch what it says here. If a man for conscience towards God endure grief, watch this, look at the next two words, suffering what? Wrongly. You know what that means? That means you're doing the right thing, but you got to suffer for it. That means you're right. You're right. You're taking the right stand. You have the right spirit. You're doing the right thing. You got King James Holy Bible to back it up. And you say, surely, if I do the right thing, then I'll be blessed. People will understand. You know what? Folks will congratulate me. People will applaud my decision. And you stand for the right thing. And you know what? People are determined to make you suffer. Listen, suffer for doing the right thing. So you're suffering wrongfully. Hey, folks, listen. You know what? In a perfect world, when you do right, you should be rewarded. Come on, listen to me. In a perfect world, when you do wrong, you should be punished. No, that's good to say out loud. In a perfect world, when you do right, you should be congratulated. You should be rewarded. It should be acknowledged. It should be applauded. When you do wrong, you know what? We can't get mad if somebody corrects us, somebody speaks up, somebody says something about it. There's some consequence to it. There's some punishment. That's the way God would like the world to run. Look right up here. It don't always run that way. Let me say it again. Let me say it this way. It seldom seems to run that way. Can I get an amen? All right, so you know what we're going to do as Christians? We are going to do what we have to do. Come on, if we're the right kind of Christian, we're going to do the right thing. And if we suffer wrongly for it, if we suffer wrongly for it, you know what? That's tough. Have you ever, come on, I've been there. Every once in a while I throw a pity party. I send out invitations. I want everybody to come, bring gifts. You know, I'll give away the little, you know, the little thing that blows out, party hats. I mean, come on, if we're going to have a pity party, let's just bring cake, cake, cake. Come on, cake. Cake is always good. Ice cream. I want everybody to come. Come on. I don't want to do this by myself. Everybody come on in. And you know, I know what it's, listen, I've been there. Have you ever just walked away from a situation and say, Lord, that's just not fair. Come on, listen. Come on. Come on. Lord, it's not fair. I did the right thing, and yet I'm suffering. I did the right thing, and I'm being treated wrong for it. Lord, come on. If I did the wrong thing, I would be rewarded in this situation, this crazy upside-down world. But I can't, so I'm doing the right thing. And not only am I not getting a reward, it seems like they are purposefully persecuting me. By the way, I'm preparing us for the end times right now. Because it's going to get harder and harder and harder, folks. I'm doing the right thing. And then I said, well, Lord, come on. You know what? Right there, boy, the devil will come and jump on your shoulder and say, yeah, God's sure not fair, is he? Here you are being such a good Christian, doing the right thing. You know, the devil will agree with us in our pride. He sure will. And you're doing the right thing, and you've done the right thing, and you've done it the right way. And you know what? God's just not very fair, is he? Folks, it's not God that's unfair. It's this wicked, sinful world that's unfair. And it's the world that will make us sometimes suffer wrongfully, and then the devil will want you to bring an accusation against the Lord. Don't let God get accused for what the devil's doing. That'll help you in your Christian life. Stay with me. You know what? All of a sudden, if you read down the rest of this portion of Scripture, it's very interesting where it goes. Stay with me, folks. Verse 19 again, for this is thankful if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongly. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is, watch this, acceptable with God. So God says, you know, if you do wrong and you get punished and you whine about it, he said, you shouldn't be whining about it. You should accept it. That's kind of expected. If I'm doing the wrong thing, that's expected. But what if I do the right thing? Then that's all of a sudden, he said, wait a minute. You still need to handle that right. Why should I stand by and be treated unfairly? Watch this. Stay with me. Let's keep reading. Because it's going to get gooder. Okay, verse 21. For even here too were ye called. What? Part of my calling? This is part of my calling from God? Is to sometimes stand for what's right and suffer for it? Well, why would he call me? Look at the next two words. Because Christ. Oh, all of a sudden we're bringing Jesus into it. All right, folks. Every attempt to stand up and defend yourself is about to get blown away in the wind. Everything inside of me that wants to stand up and feel sorry for myself and say it's not fair and God, you're not being fair. All of a sudden, when you bring Jesus into it, it just, what? Let's keep reading. Because Christ also suffered for us. By the way, was that fair? I want to ask you something. Was that fair? That he had to suffer for sins that he did not commit? Leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps who did no sin. Neither was God found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled. By the way, folks, it's just been established. He did no sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. He's the Son of God, perfect Son of God. Well, watch this. Who, when he was reviled, well, why was he reviled? What did he do wrong? Can I ask you something? Was it fair? Was it fair that people reviled him? No, it wasn't. But when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. That's what I want to do. I want to threaten revenge. But committed himself to him that what? Judgeth righteously. Folks, listen to me. I want to say some things that I hope be encouragement to you. Now, how many people used to go to church, used to serve God, used to teach Sunday school, used to work on a bus route, used to go soul winning, used to read their Bible? Come on, used to pray. But you know where they are this morning? They're sitting at home in a backslid condition, away from God, out of the fight, truly saved, but out of the fight. Why? Why, preacher? Because something happened in their personal life or in their church or in their family, and it wasn't fair. And you know what? They got mad and said, it's not fair. If that's the way I'm going to be treated, I quit. I quit. Now, folks, listen to me. The Bible says when you are suffering wrongfully, you are to endure that grief. In other words, it's not an excuse to quit. Well, it seems like it ought to be. Then go tell it to Jesus. Because he suffered wrongfully. Come on, folks. He suffered wrongfully to pay for my sins. And you know what? He didn't complain about it. He didn't quit. He didn't say they're not worth it. He took it all. He took it all. Think about that. Gotta help everybody in this room. Watch this. Who told you life was fair? Whoever did, they told you a fairy tale. Come on, kids. I'm talking to some of you that are members of the fair police. I mean, you deputized yourself as a member of the Blessed Hope Baptist Church elite squadron of fair police. And everything that you watch in the church, you just always are trying to figure out whether it's fair or not. It's fair or not. Well, why did that person get mentioned? That's not fair. I've never been mentioned. Okay, why was appreciation expressed there? It wasn't appreciation expressed to them. It's like everybody wants fair. Can I just give you a... By the way, I want to say this. Listen, you don't want fair. You don't want fair. We all act like we want fair. You know what would be fair? What would be fair is Jerry Ross screaming in agony right beside the rich man from Luke chapter 16, begging for someone to take one drop of water and put it on my tongue and do that for all eternity. That would be fair. And it'd be fair for you too. Do you really want fair? Then listen, turn in your badges and quit the fair police force. Because you know what it does? It's building in you a critical spirit. It's like anytime something's not fair, then you've got an ought to hold. You've got a reason. You've got a reason to be mad. You've got a reason to be upset. You've got a reason to quit serving the Lord. And you know what? God said, you know what this portion of scripture is saying? Hey, you know what? Life's not always going to be fair. Listen, you're going to have to deal with the idea of being treated unfairly at times. Because it's going to happen. Now, when that happens, let me give you some advice. Go home. Take a baby aspirin. Go to bed. And get up because tomorrow's a brand new day. And by the way, let me remind you something. God judges righteously. Somebody's keeping the books. Come on, someone's going to balance the books in the end. Stop trying to do what is God's job to do. Because God sees all, he knows all, and you know what? In his good time, he'll fix what needs to be fixed and judge what needs to be judged, and it's none of Jerry Ross's business. So, Jerry Ross, cancel your pity party. Come on, go take all the stuff back to Deeb's Party Mania. You know this is going to hurt my heart to say it, but cancel the order on the cake. We can still have cake, can't we? Can we still have cake? I love cake. Came back from this trip, I've gained 9 pounds. You know why? Because I was on vacation. Think I follow my diet? No. You know what? When are you going to see your doctor? Well, the next appointment's already been canceled. I don't want to see him for a while. You know. In fact, I've canceled like the last 7, I think, you know. I'm on a roll. This is real life. Come on, this is real life where the rubber meets the road, trying to stay in this thing, trying to do the right thing. And then you know what? Tough times come. You're doing the right thing and tough times come. And you know what? You've got to endure that. You can't use that as an excuse to quit. All right, you're doing the right thing. Unfair times are going to come. And you know what? Guess what? That's not an excuse to quit. What do I do, preacher? What do I do? What do I do? Here's what the Bible says. Endure it. Just carry it. You know what? Just reach down deep and get some of that fortitude, perseverance. Say, you know what? It don't matter. Come on, it don't matter. God knows. God knows the truth. If nobody else knows the truth, then you know what? It's not going to affect my spirit. It's not going to affect what I do tomorrow. And I served God before it happened, and I'm going to serve God after it happened. And no matter what happens tomorrow, I'm going to continue to serve God the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And I don't care how tough it gets, and I don't care how unfair it is. You know what, God? You're stuck with me. And when you get to that place, folks, I mean this, it's like a bunch of chains fall off. Because you're not waking up every day putting God, come on, this is what we're really doing, judging whether or not God is still worthy to be served that day or not, depending on how we were treated or how tough our life has become. You just make up your mind. I mean, come on. A handful of you guys are getting it. Because there's a young lady that could walk to an altar today and say, God, I don't care what tough things come into my life. I don't care how unfair life is. I don't care how bad it gets. I'm going to serve you the rest of my life, one day at a time, by God's grace. Listen, I used to write in every Bible. I don't even know if it's in this one. I think it is. But I used to write in my young years, in all of my Bibles, something. Here it is. I wrote it in this Bible. I wrote this in as a college student. When I was going through, listen, hardships were coming. Unfair things were happening. I watched a lot of guys go through hard times and unfair things in Bible college and quit and go home. And I was going through hard times and unfair things in my life. I felt like, listen, I felt, Brother Mark, I felt like I was in the right. And yet I was being treated unfairly. I was doing right. And yet, no blessings. It just seems like every time I turn around, I'm getting punched in the face again. And one day I had to settle something. And I wrote this, Lord, if I stumble, pick me up. If I get discouraged, lift me up. If I begin to question you, increase my faith. If I quit serving you, kill me. And by the way, you probably can't see it, but I signed my name at the bottom of it. It's a signed contract, a signed document. If you can't find that level of determination, you won't stay in this. Come on, I'm looking at a good congregation of people. I'm telling you, if you don't get to this point 5 years from now, half of you will be gone. You know why? Because we not only need to be too stubborn to quit. Watch this, come on. In the tough times and in the unfair times, but we better be too stubborn to quit in the end times. Say, where do you find that? Well, let's go to it. We got time. Matthew 24. I didn't get to preach the last few weeks. I'm borrowing a little of that time. We're almost there. Matthew 24. Jesus sits down with his disciples, said, time to have a grown-up boy talk. I won't be here much longer. Time to tell you about what's coming down the road. By the way, write this down. Write it down because there's going to be a generation that has to live through these last days. By the way, I think this is the end times. This is the last generation. I believe I am preaching to the rapture generation. I mean that. I may not see it in my time, but I think there's young people in here that will see the rapture. They're going to see it in their time. I believe that. I can't guarantee it, but I believe with all my heart the signs are there. Now watch this. Matthew 24. Talk about an encouraged portion of Scripture. Here we go. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You know what that means, folks? This whole idea that we're just going to get raptured out before we have to face anything tough, that's not true.
Yes, sir.
Get ready, Christians. That's not true. Come on. I believe in a pre-trib rapture. But that does not mean that we are not going to have to face some tough things. Let's keep reading. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound. Are we there, folks? The love of many shall wax cold. You know, all those people that beat their chest and told, well, when it really gets tough, I'm going to stand. You know what? Most of them won't stand. They'll walk away. But look at verse 13. Jesus said, all these things are coming. Folks, if Jesus says they're coming, they're coming. Well, what's his exhortation? But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You know what Jesus was saying here? He said, to his disciples, many shall be deceived, but determined to endure. There shall be wars and rumors of war, but determined to endure. You will watch nations rise against nations, but determined to endure. You will watch kingdom rise against kingdom, but determined to endure. You will experience famines and pestilence and earthquakes, but determined to endure. You'll be afflicted, but determined to endure. Some of you will be killed, but the rest of you determined to endure. You'll be hated of all nations for Christ's sake. Imagine that. But determined to endure. You'll be offended, but determined to endure anyway. Many will turn traitor, but determined that it won't be you. False prophets will arise and deceive many, but determined to endure anyway. Iniquity shall abound, but determined to endure anyway. Love of many shall wax cold, but determined to endure anyway. Pastor Dirksen, can I ask you one more time? Yes, Brother Ross, what do you need to know? Why did 30 years ago God bring you to Butte? I watch him drop his head like this, a little smile playing on his lips. Then all of a sudden the smile dissipates. And there's a hardness. And he looks at me, and there's determination. He said, well, maybe God called me to Butte because he knew I'd be too stubborn to quit. You know what we need? We need to settle this. Are you in this as long as it's easy? Come on. Are you in this as long as it's fair? Are you in this until things get really bad? Or will you at the end be one of those that will endure? Listen, when the dust all settles and Jesus Christ blows that trumpet, I think there's going to be a handful of people that have just endured. And folks, you know what? When Christ comes, I want to be counted amongst that group. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little Bible study / sermon. Thank you, Lord, for the exhortation, the encouragement. Because, Lord, things are hard. I look around at our church family as I prayed for them, prayed down the list and thought of each situation. There are tough things, hardships. Help them to endure. There's things happening in many of our members' lives. Attacks launched against them, some of them in danger of losing their job because of things that are not fair. Help them to endure. Lord, as we get closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, Lord, we either are going to reach down, we're going to figure this out, we're going to find this, and we're going to settle some things, or we will not be found faithful at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us. Help us just to say, well, I guess I could quit like everybody else has. I guess I could backslide like most people seem to have. I guess I could drop my standards. I guess I could quit serving God. But Lord, just help me to be too stubborn to quit. Lord, help me to endure.